You have your Bible. When you turn in your Bibles, now I want you to follow along with me. Now, I hope this is an evangelistic lesson. Amen. Message to you today. And may I admit to you, this is a hard message for me to put together. But I want you to know one thing. I didn't put this message together.
Amen.
This is God's message to you.
Amen.
For me. I want to just be a spokesman. I want to share it with you. It's three different times of the year, or two different times of the year we celebrate this thing. At Christmas, we celebrate our Lord and Savior's birth. At Easter, we celebrate His resurrection. So this thing is for all 12 months of the year. We celebrate. We're celebrating. So if you were there with me, follow along. Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and Elder Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stones from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guard shook for fear of him, and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come and see the place where the Lord lay." Verse 1 through 6. You may be seated. And I want you to travel with me today. We're going to do some traveling. A lot of people like to travel. And it's good every once in a while. And if you travel on commercial, most times they'll tell you arrival time. You need to be here at a certain time to board an airplane or train or wherever you're going. And there's a destination. They say, "You arrive. You arrive at this time." Well, in Jesus' life, he had a destination. And at a certain time, he arrived to finish the journey that he was taking. So you and I here today, I'll say this, and then I'm going to move on. You, there's a destination for you and I. There's a time that we're going to arrive. There's a time that we arrive to start this destination. If you go down to the courthouse or ask mom and dad, they said, "At this time, you arrive in life." But the thing about this time, we know, but we don't know the departure time of life.
Yes.
Only God knows when you're going to leave here. And I want to share with you this morning, in this moment in time, be ready. The departure is coming.
Amen.
We don't know when, but we know it is coming.
Amen.
So as today at the tomb, I'm going to be your travel guide today, okay? I don't look like a travel guide, but I'm going to travel guide you today. Follow me. And I'm going to point out some things as we make this journey. Now, we're going to start a long time ago. Let's start in Bethlehem, okay? What happened in Bethlehem? And I'm going to get you through this story. What happened in Bethlehem? Our Lord and Savior was born in the city of Bethlehem. He was wrapped in a manger. He was poor. I had told Brother Marcus I weren't going to walk from behind this thing, and I may can't stay here today. I want to tell you about our Savior. He was born in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes. He was born to a poor girl in poverty. She was special. Why was she special? Why was just one person special? She gave birth to the Savior. She became special. She gave birth to the Savior. 33 years later, I'm going to move you from the manger in Bethlehem. We're going to move all the way to Jerusalem. And let me stop there and say this to you today. You see portraits of our Savior, how he was used, beaten and bruised between two sinners. Look at that portrait and see what you see. You'll see honor in it. You say, I don't see that because I'm looking from physical eyes. Look from spiritual eyes. You'll see honor in that picture of our Lord and Savior right in the center. You see nothing with the two on the right except the one that gave his life to Jesus Christ. Jesus was beaten, battered, and bruised. But why? Why was he beaten and battered and bruised? For you and I in sin. That's the reason. And come and see. I'm going to want you to walk with me. I'm going to tell you in advance where we're going, but I want you to walk with me. Come and see where it was hung on the cross. At Calvary was where it happened at. In your spiritual mind, you can see what was going on. That's the only way you can see it. Amen. You won't see it physically, but you can see it spiritually, what was going on. Why was he on the cross? For you and I. Why did he hang there? Folks, because he loves you, kept him there. That's what happened there, because he loved you. Second, because he was doing what God said for him to do. Son, these people need help. Let me tell you, you and I need help today. We need help every moment of our life as we walk through this world. We need help. Jesus is our help. He's our help. Every circumstance in life is connected to the cross. Look, there he is. What's he doing? He's hanging. He's hanging on the cross. All of our circumstances in life is connected to this cross. Your life. My life. The life of Christ is deeply interesting. We need to study it and learn. To the Christian mind, to our minds, what was going on? Wherever we behold our Savior, he is well worthy of our notice. He's well worthy. Come, go with me. Let's go to the tomb. Before we go to the tomb, let's take him off the cross. Take him off the cross. Two ladies and two men came to take him off the cross. The sun was setting in the west. It was going down. They had to get him off the cross. They had to take care of him. They had to embalm him with all these spices and get him ready to be put in a barred tomb. Jesus had nowhere to lay his head. He said that. He didn't own anything. But I'll tell you what, he owns everything today. He's sitting at the right hand of God in heaven, petitioning for you and I. He was on the cross that took him off. Two women, two men. He was buried in Joseph's tomb. Joseph was popular. He was a Sanhedrin. He had honor. But Jesus had nowhere to lay his head. Didn't even have a place. We go, come see Brother Larry and say, Larry, Brother Larry, my mama's passed. My daddy's passed. And we got, he said, I got somewhere to lay. And Jesus had nowhere. He didn't have any place but a barred tomb. He just had the barred tomb. That's all he had. On his weary pilgrims, all through his time of preaching, Jesus had nowhere to lay his head. He depended on his disciples. He depended on others to help him when he needed help. You know, it comes a time when we need help. Where do we go? What do we do? And sometimes it gets so that I can't go talk to Flora May. And the Lord knows I love her with all my heart, but I can't go talk to her. I got to go somewhere and just kneel down and talk to God. Amen. Talk to him and just share my heart's burdens. And God is sitting right there. Oh, what a Savior you and I serve. Oh, what a Savior. Let me move on. As the girls, they take him off the cross this Friday afternoon before the setting of the sun. They wrapped him in his grave clothes and they put him in the tomb. Put him in Joseph's tomb. Joseph have hewed this thing out. It wasn't just an ordinary tomb. Folks, we think about that, but it wasn't ordinary. Why wasn't it ordinary? Because our Lord and Savior would be the first one to be put in the tomb. It was special. Joseph didn't know what we're having. We're going to hew out a special tomb for our Lord and Savior, for his family. It was special. Let me tell you something. You may not realize it. You may not think about it a lot. But I'm going to tell you something. Jesus is special. He's special. He's special to mankind. But let me move on. Let's go. The sun was setting in the west. Getting late. We've got to get him off here. And they didn't pull it. Get all the spices and perfume on his body. They got him wrapped in the grave clothes. Here's Mary, Magdalene, and Mary. They got to leave him. They got to leave him. They hadn't finished their job. And maybe they went home, got on the couch, and pondered what was going on. But they had to wait to after the Sabbath to go back. And so they went back. Jesus, God permitted them to leave him. He needed a time to rest. We say, well, God didn't need a time to rest from his weary travels of life, from his beating and being bruised. He's going to rest a little while. He's going to rest just a little while from all of his troubles. They're going to lay him in the tomb. Come over with me to the tomb, will you? What do you expect to see there? Mary Magdalene, and they went back. Now remember Joseph and Nicodemus, and the Bible doesn't say they went back to see what was going on. The women went back to see what was going on. The job hadn't been finished. They wanted to complete the job that they started. They went back. So to get there the first day of the week and to see. As they arrived at the tomb, two celestial beings sitting there, two angels dressed in white, pure. Let me say something. Let me encourage you this morning. When you see Jesus, he's going to be pure again. There won't be no bodies like we have now. There's going to be purity and white when we see Jesus. Well, here's the angels is there. Come in and see. But before you come in, I want to warn you, he's not here. Tell you, go to Jerusalem, you see the tomb. He's not there. He's gone. Where did he go? We all know, but when you know he went back to glory, the tomb is empty, folks. Stoop down and look at the tomb, and all you're going to see is the grave clothes that he was wrapped in. Take him from the cross. He took him from the cross. Now, we will come to a funeral at the church. There's a coffin sitting somewhere. It takes six people. Generally six people. They'll pick it up and they'll move it. There was only four of these. With Jesus' body. They're going to take him all the way outside of Jerusalem to a tomb. And I can imagine what it was like. Joseph, Nicodemus, Mary Magdalene, graciously laid this body of our Lord and Savior in the grave. There weren't no hurry. They just wanted to lay him there peacefully. And he did. He laid there peacefully. And the stone was rolled to the head. Now on this corner were Mary. At the morning of the first day of the week, when walking from the chair to her couch before the dawn, and she wanted to be early at Jesus' tomb. She wanted to be there. You know what? Let me say something to you this morning to myself. When the urge hits us, we want to do what God wants us to do. I want to see this thing completed. It'll be completed. God said it would be, and it will be. We'll try, if possible, by God's help, that through his spirit visualized what was going on. To go as she did, not in her body, but in spirit. You know, Jesus tells us, you know, our bodies, this whole physical body ain't no good to him. No good. I'm going to get me a new one. What are you going to get? I'm going to get me a brand new one. It's not going to be ugly like this one. It's going to be a brand new one, the one that God made for me. I'm getting me a new one. Let me tell you, you can get a new one too. You can get a body that's never going to age. You're going to get your body, oh, I ain't got to worry about the weight I'll put on. I'm going to get the one that God's going to give me. Get me another one. Don't we get tired of this thing we're living in? Let's move on. Let's go down. Let's look. Why? Why did Jesus in the grave clothes? Why was they left in the tomb? Why didn't he take them with him? You know, we have a lot of things that burdens us. A lot of things that don't make us happy. And you know, us as husbands, I'm going to say this morning. My wife probably get me when I get home. But I'm going to say it anyway. And I'm going to tell her right now, I love you before you get on my case. But anyway, a lot of times us husbands don't do these things our wife wants us to do. You know that? And the reason I say that, look, Mary and Mary Magdalene did what God wanted them to do. It was in the plan that they would be there. Because what God had done to Mary Magdalene. You know the story of Mary Magdalene. He casted all these demons out of her. He said, where's my Savior at? Where's my Lord at? That was her thoughts. Where is he at? I want to go. Where is he at? A sacred place. You know the tomb's a sacred place? Why is it a sacred place? Because Jesus Christ was laid in the tomb. Makes it sacred. It makes it sacred. And in a way of an invitation, come on, we're going to move on to the tomb. We're going to stay here a little while, this tomb. This tomb interested me. It's interesting to me the way it was hewed out. It weren't just in the ordinary ground. It's not like one of the ground like we have out here. It was hewed from a mountain. Beautiful. Marble. Why marble? Why not just put it in any place? Can't do that. It's God's Son. God says, I'm going to put him here. And I'm closing the door to him the rest of a little while. You've seen him beaten, bruised. But you're not going to see it anymore. I'm closing the door. God closed the door. He closed the door. He's laying there resting. Our Lord and Savior is resting in his grave clothes. But he's going to get up. He's going to get out of there. The door can't hold him. Nothing can hold him. And it may be. It pleases our Master. To make our heart. It pleases God to make our hearts burn within us while we walk by the way. We need to trust God and listen to him. You say, oh, well, I've heard this before. I hope you heard enough that your heart begins to burn within you. What was happening? I want to know what was happening. If you look in God's word, you know what's happening. Come. Greatness. We're talking, you hear people talk, oh, so-and-so, so great. Greatness. People will spend a lot of money to go see where this certain person laid in a tomb. I'm going to tell you the greatest grave that was ever dug was my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's the greatest that ever lived. I don't care what man's got to say. He's the greatest that ever lived. The greatest tomb that you can talk about on the face of the earth is the tomb in Jerusalem where our Lord and Savior laid. It's great. Because we had a great Savior who was lying in the tomb. And a lot of folks would travel great distance to see great tombs. You know, a lot of people go to Arlington to see, and all basically all you see is just a piece of concrete here, and the land is flat, grass growing up. But if we go to Jerusalem and our Lord and Savior in the tomb is still there. It's still there. But guess what? The Savior's gone. He's gone. He's gone, he's gone. Thank God that he's gone for you and I. He's gone. He clothed the body. He anointed it with oil. His grave clothes. He anointed it with oil of gladness. You know, it should be a great joy to each and every one of us here this morning, knowing that we have a brother that died for us. Amen. Knowing we have one. He said, I'll stick closer to you than a brother. That's our Lord and Savior. He's going to be there for you and I. He'll be there in the last moments of life. And I said earlier, we don't know our departure time. But we know we're going to depart from here and be there. You know, life is good. You know that? Life is good to those that love the Lord. Life is even good to those that don't love Him because of God. His great mercy and joy is extending to them. But life is sweeter when we get to be with Jesus. Life will be sweeter. Come. To the grave. Come to the grave of your best friend. You know, in today's world in which we live, we go to the grave of our best friend. There'll probably be teardrops. We go to the grave today of our best friend, and it brings joy to us. No tears. Jesus made a statement, said, I'm going to wipe all the tears away. There won't be any tears in heaven. So we see the grave clothes lying in the tomb. Where is he at? Well, he's gone. The angel said he's gone. Now we're going to enter the tomb first. Mark, what you going to see when you get in the tomb? What are you going to see first? What's the first thing going to catch my eyes? I'm going to see his grave clothes laying there undisturbed. Jesus got up and walked out of them. Left them as the walls. And the Jews said there was thieves come and stole the body. Let me tell you something. You know it and I know it. If a thief breaks in your house tonight and steals something, he's not going to try to put it back like it was. He's going to make a hasty departure. Remember this. The grave clothes was laid just as he was in the grave. Undisturbed. Jesus got up on his own and walked out. Oh, let me tell you about angels. Before I get away, let me tell you about the angels. The angels came. The tomb was sealed. They rolled away the stones. Why did you roll away the stones? If Jesus' work hadn't have been finished, the stones wouldn't have been rolled away. But Jesus said it was finished. It was done. He was free to go. Let me tell you something this morning. You are free to go to heaven if you want to go. It's up to you. Christ has purchased the ticket. It's up to you to accept the ticket to go. It's free. You can go. You can go. It's up to you. Jesus made the way. Well, the tomb is empty. We find the tomb is empty. So what do we do now? Sir? We see the grave clothes, they're undisturbed. Why was they left? You ever ask yourself the question? I like to ask questions. I don't have the answers. Why was they left there? Because Jesus had done his work. It was finished. There was no more need for the grave clothes. That the sins of the world were left in the grave. Jesus left them there. Not to bury them anymore. He's not going to bury them anymore. He's done his job. He's done his work. He's home in glory, but he's still working with his people. Yes, he is. He's still working with his people. Jesus said, whosoever will. Let me tell you, folks, he didn't grade us. God said, whoever will, let him come. Freedom. Joy. Somebody asked me, I talked to my class about it. I said, you know, we talk about joy, and I just don't understand all that joy. But I'm going to understand it one day when I see my Jesus and he say, well done. Well, I told you it was a barred tomb. But I want you to know something. It was a barred tomb, but it was an expensive tomb. Why was it so expensive? For what God had done for you. It was an expensive tomb. It wasn't just an ordinary tomb. The grave clothes there. He shedded all the sins of the world and left them in the grave. They're there. All was gone. Not to do it anymore. But you know what was interesting? Look inside the tomb. We stoop over and look. There's a napkin was left in the tomb. There was a napkin left in the tomb. You know what it's representing? Symbolica. When you and I, maybe we're losing our wife, we go to the graveside and the tears begin to flow. Jesus said, I'll leave a napkin for you to wipe the tears away. We go to the graveside of one of our children and tears begin to grow. I'll leave a napkin to wipe the tears away. You know what? Jesus made a great statement. He's telling us there's no tears in heaven. Jesus is going to personally wipe them all away. Jesus is going to personally wipe them all away. There will be no teardrops there. This could be happiness. This could be joy. Come, go. Come and go. Let's take another look in the tomb, if you will. The napkin's just like it was when it was placed upon him. The grave clothes, as it had never been disturbed. Now, what happened to Jesus? I told you earlier, you probably done forgot about it. Jesus got up on his own and walked out of the grave. How did he get out of the grave with his clothes up? The same way he walked in the upper room with his disciples. He just walked through the wall. That's Jesus. That's God. He got up and walked out of the tomb on his own. He didn't need your help. He didn't need mine to help him. So, as we leave the tomb, they're pondering, what has happened? Let me tell you what happened to him. I kind of alluded to this a little bit earlier. He was a man of great sorrow. He was. He was a man that suffered from great shame. Christ suffered shame. People spit upon him. And I would venture to say today, if we could, if it was possible, we'd see somebody spit upon Christ, our Christ, we would take that to heart and try to defend him. Listen, you need to defend him today. You won't see him hanging on the cross, but we know it happened. We know that it happened, and you and I need to defend him today. The world says it's not happening. Let me tell you something, folks. If you don't know Christ as a personal Savior, you're going to have to deal with him. You don't have to deal with me. You're going to have to deal with Christ. People spit upon him and brought reproach upon him until he had completed his great work. It was done. It was done. But you know his work weren't finished until he left the tomb. It weren't finished until he left the tomb. But when he left, he got up on his own and left. He was trampled. He was despised. The world which you and I live in today despises what we stand for. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we rested, rejecting of men. Men's rejecting of your child, my child, children of the world is rejecting our Lord and Savior today. We're going to need him. I'm telling you we're going to need him. And I'm telling you and myself to trust him. Trust him, trust him. He's God. He's God. And there's none other than him. He's God. I'm going to get this thing done in a minute. But the moment he had finished his undertaking, God said, no more shall thy body be disgraced. God hid him from the world when he put him in the tomb. He said, you're not going to see anymore. The next time you'll see him in grace. You're going to see him in mercy. You will see him in joy. You will see him as my son. You've seen enough. It is a slumber. It has an honorable grave. It was honorable. Why? He was noble. The grave was dug for a noble person. And God was noble. Joseph purchased it for his family. Wouldn't you love to have a plot of land or a place that you purchased for your family? And Jesus said, I need it. Would you give it to him? Let me say, ask you, would you give it to him? You need to give your life to him. That's what we need to do. Not the grave, we need to give our life to him and serve him well. I suppose if you could ask Joseph today, what about it, Joseph? I was glad to do it. I was glad to do it. He borrowed a boat. This Jesus, why we went to the manger? He was poor. She was poor. Mary was poor. Now we're going to take him to the cross, right? We took him to the cross. You seen him on the cross. Nothing. He had nothing. Beaten, battered, and bruised. He didn't have nowhere to lay his head, Brother Bruce. But he laid in a tomb. He laid in a glorious tomb. He had nowhere to preach. But he would borrow a boat. He'd go out and see a Galilee and preach. He would borrow the boat. That's what happened to it. He had nothing on earth. He would borrow a boat to preach the gospel. The holy place, the tomb, it was cut in a rock. Not just anywhere, Brother Michael. It was special. It was special. Why was it so special? Folks, listen, it's special. God is special. His Son is special. And to take it one step farther, you're special. You're special to God. Now let me move on and get you out of here. It's getting close to lunch. I'm trying to feed you some spiritual food, and we need it. Well, I guess we're going to need something for the body. Notice the grave clothes, all wrapped and laid in their place. Napkins folded in place by itself. The grave clothes were wrapped. I said earlier, they were undisturbed. Didn't look like anybody had been in them. Christ did not come out in them. In a hurry, he did not come out in haste. At the precise time or the precise hour, he came forth. At the precise time, he was born into the world. And at a precise time, he was put on that cross. In a precise time, he left. In a precise time, he's coming back. The appointed time. He's coming. It's going to be precise. God does not do anything haphazard. It's precise in the way he wants it to be. There we move. Jesus, he was a murdered man. Oh, come, my beloved brother. Jesus was not only there, he knew, and he was a murdered man. What is God to us? Good question. What is God to you? He is the creator of the heaven and of earth. He is our king. Say this to you and me. One day you and I will kneel before the king. We're going to kneel. Now, oh, you say, oh, I got my bat. No. You're going to kneel before the king. Whether you want to or not. You will. Listen, you will. You will. He is a legislator and a lawmaker. And a lawmaker. He makes the laws for you and I. He governs our life. Those that trust in him, he governs our lives. Or everything won't be kosher? No! It can't be kosher. Everything ain't going to be okay because I serve God. You know, God's got to get you ready to get you out of here. You're going to go through some rough times. Just as sure you're sitting here today. Teardrops. Joy and peace. That's what all this offers you on the cross. when he's born into the world, he was going to bring it. The cross offered, the burial, the tomb, it was finished. It was completed. Now let me say this to you and I. If we could, if God, and God keeps a record of all his people, the count, if you could look at the count, it says, canceled, paid for. You and I, it's paid for. The account is paid for, Brother Bruce. You don't owe a dime. You couldn't pay it if you did owe it. He said, it's all canceled out. God's blood canceled it all out. When he said it, it was canceled. No more to be. Well, in the conclusion, let's go look. Look, look, look. It is not. But look. It is simply look. If thou canst, but look to Jesus, thou art safe. Hear the voice of a redeemer. Purchase a redeemer. That's what he does. He buys stuff. He bought you. He paid a tremendous price. You hear that, a tremendous, but you need to sense how much this tremendous price was. A life. Look unto me, and be ye what? Saved. Be ye saved. Look, look. Oh, guilty soul, look unto me. And I'm going to wash away all your sins. Gonna wash away. Now, you ladies know when I'm fixed, say something about washing. You say, well, got to get my clothes clean. Do you really ever get them clean? Really? Huh? Let me say this, and I'm going to close. Brother Hilton, come give us them, give the invitation. When God cleans up a human being, he is clean.
Amen.
He's clean. Or she is clean.
Amen.
You're clean. So if you look in the tomb, it's not there. You know you're safe and secure because he's gone. But let me share one more thing with you. Rapture doesn't take place today. We know he's coming back. We know that. How many of us would be ready to go back with him? You answer the question. You answer that question. Am I ready to go back with him? He's not going to wait. We say, or if he's deterred. If he tarries, no. At appointed time, he's coming. He's not going to tarry, folks. And you know what? I'm going to say this today. I'm going to get out of your way now. I don't know if I'll ever get to preach another message to anybody in this life. But what I want to say to you from the heart, maybe of a pauper, but just an old poor boy, not educated, just a poor boy. I want you to come and go with me. Jesus said I could go. He said I could go. You know what? I got my ticket. But I don't know my departure time. I know I'm going to leave you. But I'll tell you this. When he calls, I'm going to answer. Here I am, Lord. And I don't know, but I'm going to say this. I hope I'm sitting at the Eastern Gate waiting for y'all to come. Come to joy and salvation of our Lord. The tomb is empty. One day, this body's going to be empty. The soul's going to depart from it. I'm going to leave you a shell.